Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's been a year, been a whole year, Lord. We've gone through a year already, Lord. And Lord, some things, Father God, some things have hurt and some things been beautiful, Lord. But Lord, through it all, we want to just thank you this morning, Father. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for what you're about to do in this new coming year, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Our eyes are upon you, Father. We are looking to you, Lord. We are trusting you, Father, to do that, Father God, what no one else can do, Father. We thank you. We thank you. And we thank you, Lord. We worship you this morning. We praise you. You've been so good to us, Lord. And we do praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. You sit down if you can. Hallelujah. If you aren't already sitting, man, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many are excited about New Year? Yeah. I mean, hey, you know, the best way to step into a new year is to step into it. Is that right? Don't be timid. It's coming anyway. You're gonna have to step in anyway. So you might as well step in hard. Is that right? Hallelujah. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about a couple of young babies that were born 6 months apart, John the Baptist and Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So I just want to kind of finish up the stories this morning. I want to look at some things that were said, because, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Prophecy is important to us. Is that right? It's important that we understand that God is saying things, and He uses people. He uses the Word to speak to us, to tell us things about what things that are coming, things that we're doing that He loves. Is that right? Come on. Things that we're doing that He's not too happy about. Is that all right? Okay. Anybody say, yeah? Okay. Amen. Praise God. But prophecy is important to us. It's important that we also prophesy to those around us. Is that okay? Can I tell you, God's called you to speak His Word to folks. Can I tell you that this morning? It's a good deal. And especially to these little ones. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm glad they're in the service this morning. Hopefully, I don't put them all to sleep. Is that okay? Stay awake, guys, okay? Please? Hallelujah. Well, we'll see. We'll try to get through this pretty quick. So, if you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. I'm sorry, I think it's Luke chapter 1, isn't it? Yeah, Luke chapter 1. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 57. Oh, it's nice to have the keyboard back. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Starting at verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth the son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. If you remember, her husband Zechariah, who works in the temple to burning incense, the angel of the Lord came. It was actually Gabriel came and talked to him and said, "Hey, your wife's going to have a son." And they were old folks. Is that okay? They were old folks. They were up in age. And Zechariah just didn't believe. He goes, "What?" He goes, "Man, I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken with years." So. Gabriel told him, okay, for not believing what the word that was just given to you, you're going to not be able to speak for a while. And so it's been about 9 months, and John, the baby has been born. And verse 58 says, her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. All right, Elizabeth, come on. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And of course they didn't believe mom. And so they said unto her, "There is none of your kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, and he wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke and praised God. And fear came all those that dwelt around them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was upon him. Isn't that cool? All the people that heard, they say, hey, man, what kind of kid is this going to be? And the Bible says, come here, just for a minute. Walk with me. And it says that the hand of the Lord was with him. Is that all right? Is that cool? Is that what it says? John, from the minute he was born, even to when he started his ministry, the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was upon this guy. Is that right? That's cool. That's very important, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. Can I just say to you that God's hand is on you? He's on you. He's walking with you. You might thank you, young man. You're a good man. You might think that he's not. Sometimes it feels like he's not really close, but he is. He's really close. How close is he? He's really close. Is that right? Is that okay? He's very close. Is that right, Howard? He's very close. And he's walking with you, okay? Hallelujah. The Lord was with him. In verse 67, it says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, listen to what this old guy says. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Jesus hadn't been born yet. Is that okay? This is about 3 months before Jesus was born. And he's saying, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Is that cool? Being able to serve him without fear, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, that's what Jesus is here to do. That's what he came for. And folks, that's what's going on. If you've given him your heart, if you accepted him in your life, that's what he said. He'll deliver you from any enemy and keep you from living in fear. Is that cool? That's cool. Verse 75 says, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And thou, child, now he's speaking to the baby. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, prophesying to his son. That's cool. Verse 80 says, and the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and was in the desert until the day of his showing in Israel. You know, it's funny because the people were wondering, I wonder what kind of a child this is. And this guy ends up being in the mountains or in the desert, eating locusts, not really being around folks. The Bible says he had a leather girdle on, or he, kind of like in Tarzan, I guess, if you want to say Tarzan, or an Indian or whatever, you know. But that's the way he lived. He kind of lived a separated life. But it was because of the purpose that God had for him. It's pretty cool. Hallelujah. And he grew and waxed strong in the spirit. I'll tell you, this year I believe that God is speaking to not only to this house, but to the body of Christ in the earth, that this is a year of strength for the body. This is a year where God's going to pour into the body of Christ the strength that they have been actually hungering for. How many of you just hungered for God, for God to manifest himself in the world like he's never manifested him before? I mean, I don't know if you're hungry for that, but I'm hungry for that, and I'm ready for it. And I believe it takes strength to do that. How do you know that? Is that right? It takes strength. It really does. And it's going to happen, folks. It's getting ready. I mean, we are in the season. Hallelujah. To be jolly. We're in the season of harvest. We really are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John the Baptist. We go to Jesus. Now, if you would, go to Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. We're going to talk about Jesus, these two babies. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Praise God. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Man, I love this. I love this because Simeon, one of the first words in the law is, Hear, O Israel. And the name Simeon means, Hear, O Israel. That's what it means. Simon, one of Abraham's sons. Simeon means, Hear, O Israel. And it's the beginning of the law. And I like it. What I love about it, I don't know if you guys are going to get this. I know you'll get this. What I love about this statement is that what he says, now let your servant depart. Remember, the Lord had told him, you will not die until you see the Lord. You're going to see the Redeemer. You will see him. And so he goes, when he sees him, he says, Lord, now let me depart. I like the kind of the type of what it means. It means when Jesus came into the temple, now the law says, I'm going to step back. We're not governed by the law anymore. Is that right? Is that right? The law is not governed anymore. It's by grace. And you're going to find that as we read the next few words, as we go a little bit further, there's an old woman in the temple, and her name is Anna. You guys know that? Anna. Old Testament form of Anna is Hannah. H-A-N-N-A. Hannah. And you know what it means? Grace. The law moves out and grace begins to speak. You watch. Watch this. Check it out. It's cool, man. It's really cool. What verse did I stop on? Does anybody know? 29. Okay, we're going to read verse 29. Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, here is the Holy Spirit speaking something to this gentleman. And he says, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also. Is that right? Did that happen? Yeah, it did. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess of the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke unto him of all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And verse 40 says, and the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen? Praise God. The grace of God was upon him. The child grew. That was Jesus. Praise God. And God was upon him. God's grace. The word for grace, I like to say, is divine influence upon your heart and its reflection in your life. That's what grace means, divine influence. And folks, that elderly lady that was in the temple, she's kind of the type of grace, and it says that she went out telling everybody about the redemption that was in this child. Is that okay? That's what grace does. It speaks to you about who you are, what God has done for you. That's grace. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. But in both of those stories, it said that John and Jesus waxed strong in the Spirit. I want to just put up the word waxed. And I'm not really good at speaking Greek. You guys know that. But the Greek word for waxed is kradaeu. Those two O's, one's a long O. The last one's a long O, but the one right before it is a short O. So yeah, uo. And it means to empower, to increase in strength or vigor, to be strengthened, to wax strong. Wax strong. Hallelujah. Wax. Wax on. Wax strong. Wax strong. God wants you to wax strong. You know, folks, how many of you say, yeah, I want to wax stronger this year. Stronger than you ever been. How many say, man, I want to be stronger. I want to be, you know, I want my words to be clearer. Amen. That's one of the things I'm praying. Say, God, if you're going to have me speaking before people, make sure that I know what I'm talking about. Is that okay? Okay, that's okay. Yeah, Lord, I want to wax stronger in those areas. I want to speak the words that you have that will go deep into the hearts of the folks, that will strengthen them and build them. How many know we're not here to tear anybody down? We got to be careful how we don't tear folks down. Is that okay? We got to build you up. Got to build you up. Constantly building, never tearing down, because I believe God has called us to build. Is that right? And that's cool, man. So hallelujah. So how do you wax strong in the Spirit? How do we wax strong? How do we get stronger and stronger and stronger? How do you get strong? Do you know the events that you go through in your life? That's what builds you. It's not only the good times, but it's also the hard times. I will tell you, probably the hardest times that I've ever gone through are the ones that really speak to me today. And I see that God has really worked in my life and built something. I took something away from that. And what I took was something spiritual, something that was building me. Even though I was hurt, even though it didn't feel good. And folks, how many know that's what you need to take everything in your life. You need to allow God to minister to you so that you know what he's saying. So you know that he's, you know, you might be hurting, but that hurt is for, there's something, there's a reason. It's so you can go to God and you can say, God, what's going on? And allow him to speak to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to this scripture. You're going to love this one. James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. My brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and entire, lacking what? Nothing. It says to count it all joy. Is that what it says? Praise God, man. How many of you guys say, yeah? How many, every time something bad happens, do you count it all joy? How many of you do that? I mean, right off the bat, say, man, praise God. I'm going to get something good out of this. How many of you do that? No, man. Sometimes you're honking at people and yelling at them. Before, is that right? Come on, be honest. You can, hallelujah. But the Word of God says, count it all joy. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. Let's look at that. It says this, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore. but your eyes shall see your teachers. I want you to look at that scripture real close. Does it not say that the Lord will give you bread of adversity? Is that right? Does it not say water of what? Affliction. Are you kidding me? Is that what God does? Does God afflict us? Does God give us adversity? You know what? He lets it happen. Do you know why? It says in there, because they're teachers for you. They are teaching you something. They are teaching you something. Ooh, hallelujah. Things happen for a reason to you. You're on the planet right now. There's a reason why you're on the planet, because God has something for you. He's got something for you to do. But there's a reason why all these bad things are happening. I had two pickup trucks, and a lot of you have heard this already, but I'm going to tell you again. I had two pickup trucks. One truck was just an old junker I was driving, didn't have a good gas gauge on it. I picked it up. It was a Ford. Are you guys okay? A Ford. It was a Ford. But anyway, I was using it for work. But the other truck I had was a nice truck. I was building it. I had overhauled the engine, had put new gears on the front axle on it. It was a four-wheel drive. It's a great big truck. And it was not a Chevy. It was an international truck. How many of you guys remember internationals? Not too many. But it was an international 4x4, had big tires on it. Man, I really spent a lot of money. Ask Rosie. She said, yeah, whatever. But I had ended up giving it to this guy, and it was really under duress. I really didn't want to give the truck away, but there was an evangelist from Mexico that needed this truck. And the Lord finally showed me a scripture. If you have it by you, how can the love of God dwell in you if you will not give your brother what he needs? I'll give him the little one. I'll give him the Ford. No, man. It was the nice one. I had built it because this guy did mountain evangelism in Mexico. And so I went ahead. Okay, I gave him the truck. Well, one day I'm coming. I'm getting on the freeway right in this area. There used to be a gas station on the next exit. It was an Exxon down there on Esperanza. But I'd just gotten on the freeway. I had Jonathan with me. It was probably 1989, 91, or 92. I don't remember what year it was. But I had my son next to me. He was in the truck with me. And like I said, the truck didn't have a gas gauge. So I'm driving down the road right off. Just got on the interstate, and I ran out of gas. And I did have a gas can in the back, but guess what? It was empty. Come on, yeah. See, when you got a vehicle that doesn't have a gas gauge, you ought to keep gas in the gas can you got in the back. Is that right? Jeez. So I get out, and I'm huffing and puffing. I'm upset, but I tell my little boy, I said, look, Jonathan, stay in the truck. Do not get out. I have to go get some gas, but don't get out. I didn't want him walking with me. I probably should have taken him, I started walking with my gas can, and can I tell you, I'm not too happy with God. Is that okay? God, I got a truck that's got a, I had a truck that had a good gas gauge on it, man, and now here I am walking with this gas can. God, what is this? What's going, God? You know, I'm upset. Anybody been like that with God? You ever been that way? Right when I'm a little bit away from my truck, probably not even a quarter of a mile yet, this limousine pulls over. I'm walking up to it, and the door opens. Hey, I look in. The guy goes, get in. Got a gas can. He goes, get in. You know, all right. So I get in, and and he takes off down the road. And he goes, do you know where St. Thomas is? St. Thomas? No, and this is back before you had your phone that you could put in an address and it would take you there. Do you know where St. Thomas is? I go, no, I'm not sure. He's like, are you from here? I am. St. Thomas, I never heard of that. And then all of a sudden, are you talking about Santo Tomas? And he goes, yeah, that's it. He looks on his paper. He goes, that's Santo Tomas. I said, hey, it's the other way. He goes, I said, you know that exit the Duval exit? You need to go back to that one. He goes, oh, I'll take you to get your gas. I said, all right. So he pulls off the Exxon at Esperanza, pulls in, bunch of people there. I get out, got my gas can, big old limo, big white limo, beautiful limo. Get my gas. People are looking at me. Get back in, close the door, and we come on back. He drops me off across on the freeway. Told him, just go up, go to the light up there and turn right. And while I'm crossing the divider, I realized that God had sent that limo, picked me up. And I will tell you to count it all joy when you fall in these different temptations. Count it all joy. Can I tell you, I used to be a long-range planner, but I wasn't anymore. I turned into an emergency planner at the mine. But I can tell you that for an event like that to happen, it had to be well planned ahead. Is that right? There had to be somebody had a need to have that limo brought down to St. Thomas, Santo Tomas. There had to be a driver that said, okay, I'll go. There had to be a little event that said he didn't know where he was going, so here's this guy walking on the side of the road. Do you realize all the things that God does to set you up? Do you understand that? It's cool, man. He's way ahead of you. Way ahead of you. So we're stepping into 2018. He's way ahead of us. Way ahead. You've got nothing to worry about. Hallelujah. So when those things happen, the Bible says, count it all joy. I'm going to show you the translations of this. Okay, so check that out. This is a King James up here. This is count it all joy. That's the way it says it in the King James. The NIV says it this way. Or there's Amplified, says it, consider it nothing but joy. And the NIV says it, consider it pure joy. Are you kidding me? Consider it pure joy? Yes, because the fact of the matter is God is working on your behalf. He's working for you. He's way ahead of you. And he knows what you're going through. He sees it, and he's going to take you right through it. Is that okay? Oh, man, hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes it seems like you're alone. Could you put up Psalm 71, verse 1 through 1, 2, and 3? Sometimes it does seem like you're alone, but I'm going to tell you, you're not alone. This is what David said. In thee, O Lord, I do put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Sometimes things that happen, I'm confused, God. Are you with me or aren't you? Yeah, I'm with you. The event you're going through cannot speak anything other than what God has said. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. He says, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. How many like escaping those things? Come on, man. And he says, incline your ear to me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. And I like this part. You have given a commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Can I tell you that this morning? That whatever you're going through, God has given commandment to pull you out and bring you out. It's cool. Call upon the Lord. Huh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you go through things, go to him. Spend time in his presence. I like what Pastor John said this morning. You know, you need to rest. How many know that? How many are busy? Nobody's busy. Praise God. I got stuff for you all to do. Come on. If you're not busy, come on. How many are busy? You got lots of stuff going on. God said, all the hands. No, I don't want to get. You're not going to put me to work. No, just kidding. We're all busy. Busy, busy, busy. But I'm going to tell you, you need to spend time in God's presence. God has paid a price to get you into his throne room. Is that okay? He paid his price. Jesus went to a cross and died for you to get you into his throne room so you could actually hear what God has for you. You alone, you and him alone, nobody else, so that he can show you just how much he's on your side, how much he loves you. Oh, man, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Oh, man, I got to, glory to God. Psalm 16, verse 11 says this. You will show me the path of life. in your presence is fullness of joy. Is that right? And at thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. How many of you have ever been in your prayer closet and God begins to speak to you? And all of a sudden, it's like this, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. God, you're so good. Keep speaking, Lord. Keep talking to me. It's so good. Being in his presence, listening for his voice, and then when he begins to speak, it's like pleasure. It's like, it's crazy. It's crazy. I was asking for a car. Needed a station. I mean, I had a big station wagon, gas guzzler, man. And there's me and my wife and my two kids, Jonathan and Rebecca. And we wanted to go to California to go to Disneyland. I wanted to take the kids to Disneyland. How many like taking your kids to Disneyland? Yeah, man. It's a lot. And anyway, we were on our way. I told the pastor, I go, man, I need a car, man. He goes, well, let's pray about it. All right. So I'm praying. And I said, Lord, I need a car. And my pastor did tell me, he says, pray until you feel the presence of God. I said, all right. So I'm in there praying. I'm saying, Lord, I could use a car. But you know what, God, I'm just going to go ahead and worship you and thank you for what you've given me. For the old Ford truck. No, just anything. But thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. And as I was thanking him, I felt the presence of God. And when I felt the presence of God, you know, I began to say, it's okay, God. That car I got, it's fine. I'm fine with it. I'm good. And my pastor stopped me and said, wait a minute. Well, what do you want? Are you confusing God? What do you want, man? I said, no, he knows my heart. But I tell you something. I remember Jimmy Swagger said something. He was asking his mom. He was asking for a car, and he was with his grandmother, and they were praying. And his grandmother, he was praying, and that almost that same thing happened to him. He said, God, it's okay. I'll ride my bike. It's up to you. If that's your will, God, I'll ride my bike. And he said that his grandmother slapped him upside the head. He said, you serve a big God. Amen. Ask him. Ask him, hallelujah. Can I tell you, he loves you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows all your needs, hallelujah. What, like Pastor John said, you just got to spend some time. Spend some time in his presence. In your presence, Lord, there's fullness of joy. And then it says this, Nehemiah 8:10. This is our power verse. Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said to me, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. And then it says this, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. If you need joy, if you need strength, the best place, the only place that I know for you to be as a man or a woman of God is in the presence of God. And while you're in the presence, he will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. And he will strengthen you. How many know we need strength? Amen. I mean, hallelujah. If I could scratch, I mean, there's a new dirty word I got in my vocabulary. I shouldn't say that. One that I don't like to hear much anymore. Because I hear a lot of folks say, you know what, I'm tired. I'm tired. That's all they hear. I'm tired. Talking to somebody, yeah, man, I'm tired. You're tired. As your pastor, I'm going to tell you, if you're tired, get in the presence of God. Get into his presence because he's going to fill you with joy. And that joy is going to create a strength in you. And I'll tell you what, you'll go and you'll go and you'll go because he will empower you. Empowered. And so now when I talk to you, don't tell me you're tired, folks. Don't tell me that. I'll slap you upside the head. I'm going to tell you. I say, you know what? I'm going to say, man, no, you're empowered. God wants to empower you. You're going to get a mini sermon if you tell me you're tired. Is that okay? Because I just praise God, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't care how old you are. Come on, man. Don't use that excuse on me. Well, I'm old. No, you're not. You're not old. Hallelujah. Get in his presence. Remember Caleb? Give me the mountain, man. I saw a mountain out there. I'm 80 years old, man. Going up to fight all these young guys, man. Come on, man. Don't tell me you're old. Hallelujah. I mean, but sometimes it's a fight. faith, when God says something to you and you receive it, do you know it's sometimes you got to fight to hold it? Is that right? You got to grab a hold of it and say, God, I don't get, Tom, can you do this thing? Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to contend. Watch these scriptures. I want to show you these scriptures. Here's 1 Corinthians 9:24. Can you put that up? It says this, know ye not, they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All they that run in a race, they run. Is that right? But only one's going to win. How many know that? Is that what the Word of God says? Are you guys paying attention? Are you guys looking at this? Take it down. Take it down. No, I'm just kidding. It says, do you not know that they which run in a race, they all run, but one receives a prize? I'm gonna say, you know what? In this race, we need to run. We need to run like we're going to receive a prize. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. We're all going to receive a prize if you run. You got to go after it. Is that right? Check out the next verse. I want you to look at this next verse. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Is that what it says? Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. And the Word of God says for you to fight the fight of faith. Is that right? So, folks, I'm going to tell you this morning, in 2018, I want you to know that I am praying that you're going to be a fighter, that God's going to quicken you. You're going to be fighting. I'm going to show you. Come on, man. You're going to be fighting for the Lord. Is that right? He's going to strengthen you in this. Hallelujah. Don't worry. You're going to get your chance. Everybody's going to get their chance. Check it out. Now, watch this one. This is Jude 3. Everybody say, what chapter, huh? It's kind of weird, huh? It's kind of weird. Jude 3 says this, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and to exhort that you should do what? Earnestly what? Contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. How many of you guys like Rocky? Anybody seen the movie Rocky? I like the series. My wife and I watched it the other night. Oh man, I love it, man. Oh man. Oh, he tells a joke in there. My wife and I laughed a lot. You guys have heard it probably. It says, why do cows have bells? Because their horns don't work. Because their horns don't work. Oh man. Oh, I like Rocky, and I like what he does. I like how he fights. I like the contender. I like the thought that's in this was that you should earnestly, not just contend, but earnestly contend for what? For the faith. Folks, I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again this week. The Bible says that the deceitfulness of sin, it will rob you of your fire. It will. Sin will rob you of your fire. It will rob you of the things that God has placed in your life. Because when sin is in your life, folks, listen, if you're allowing yourself to do things that you know are contrary to God, you just know it. You've placed yourself in a position, and where God is trying to say to you this morning, just turn away from it. Repent. This is what the Word of God says. Repent. Repent. Turn away from those things that you're doing that are contrary to what you know God has spoken. And then watch and see what He does. And you can begin to contend for faith. You begin to contend for the things that He speaks to you, that He's going to do for you, that He's going to take you. Hallelujah. And He's going to strengthen you and build you. But folks, we have to look at ourselves and say, God, what is it in me? Can I tell you that even in, I say, Lord, what's in me that you don't like? You've washed me, you've cleansed me, you've made me clean. But God, show me what it is that you don't like in my life. And God, I'll get rid of it. I will. Help me. And sometimes he shows me. And I go, oh, I didn't know you meant that. No, man, no. Anything. Anything, God, that's contrary to you, I don't want it. I want you. And I want to earnestly contend for the faith. Can I get the kids up here? Kids, come here. Come on, man. Get up here. Come here. Are they all asleep? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, guys. Come here. Come here. Come on. Come on. Come here, kids. Come here. Yeah, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody, make a line right here, all the way down this way. Come on. Let's. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Make a line. Make a line. Yeah. How many of you know these are men and women of God? Yeah. Right now. Right now. Hallelujah. So, come on. So what I'm going to tell, listen, this is all I want you to say. This is all I want you to say. God, can you say that? I will contend for you. You know what? Maybe make it easier. I will fight for you, God. All right. Okay. Now, no, listen, praise God. Listen, now this is, you don't fight people. Come on, is that okay? I thought I better make sure you guys know that. All the ears are open. You don't fight people. Okay? You fight for what God tells you and what he says to you. Okay? What are you going to say? What are you saying? God, I will fight for you. Is that right? Say, God, I will fight for you and hit the bag. Okay, can we do that? And the folks out here, they're going to say, praise God. Okay? All right, go ahead. You start. God, I will fight for you.
God, I'll fight for you.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Come on. Your turn. Then you can go sit down. Thank you. Say, God. Amen. Praise God. That's a double punch. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. Amen. Praise God. Glory. Amen. Yeah. Come on, man. Yeah. Good girl. Ooh, that punch hurt. Yeah. Good girl. Praise God. Come on. Come on, Ben. That's it. Come on. Yeah. Did you? Yeah. Come on. You gotta say it. Gotta say it. Gotta say it. Gotta say it. Come on, man. I will fight for you. That a boy. That a boy. Come on. I will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for our young people, Lord God. We thank you for what you do in their lives. And Lord, just as they declared, they will fight for you. We agree according to what they have said this morning, God. We thank you for it. We give you praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to make a declaration, folks. Hallelujah. Could you stand? Hallelujah. You guys are scared I'm going to make you come up and hit the bag. It's okay. Hallelujah. Make a declaration. If you will, say this with me. God is for me, not against me. Lord, I will earnestly contend for you. I will fight the good fight of faith. This is the important part. And win. Ooh, come on. And win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has called us to victory. Do you know that? Amen. Everything you go through, you take a victory from it, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it says to you, no matter what it tries to say to you, you take it and you get your victory out of it. Is that okay? I'm going to say that. Father, I just thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I thank you. Father, I do agree with each and every statement that was stated this morning. I agree, Father God, Lord, that they are contenders. They will fight the good fight of faith. Lord, that you are for them and not against them. And Lord, that whatever they do, they're going to win. They are going to win because they will take the strength that you have called into their life through these things, Father. We thank you for it. We give you all the praise for it, Lord. Thank you for 2017. But God, we thank you even more for 2018. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We know you're going to do great things in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen.